Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Now I was telling Brother Walker, he showed up Wednesday night. It's always kind of amazing whenever we decide to cancel service, people show up. But I talked to him and I mentioned to him that we were doing a study through Proverbs and that we had taken everybody's reading through the book of Proverbs in the month of January. And asked everybody to give me the verses that spoke to our hearts, and then wherever we had any overlap, that was going to be the idea of the Sunday school. Figuring that if God spoke, if you were honest now, and you just pick one at random, right? If you were honest and you read it and you ask the Lord to speak to your heart, and the verses that you picked out spoke to your heart, and then whatever overlap, we would say, well, maybe God wants to speak to us as a church, so we want to go ahead and look at that, those verses. But in all of this entire time of going through there where we've had one or more verses of overlap, this is the one chapter where nobody gave me the same verses. So I really could not take the time and focus on one particular group of verses to look at this chapter. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to read the chapter like we normally do, and then I'm going to focus on a few passages of scripture here I think that the Lord would have us pay close attention to in that regard. So if you would, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Now, before I go on, I just want to say something about that one verse right there. You know, if you and I would learn to spend more time talking about good things than bad things, we would be a help to a lot of people. We have a culture where everybody, and it's been this way for generations now, and it just has snowballed and gotten worse, but you know, you go on there and you don't ever hear anything good, and if you hear anything from the world that's supposedly good and lighthearted, they're always praising the wicked. And that is tedious to hear. But I'll tell you something that the people need to hear. They need to hear something that's good. And if you spend all your time focused on what's going on wrong in the world, and I'm not saying you don't pay attention, I'm not saying you don't pray, I'm saying you ought to be praying, but you would think that our praying would make a difference, not just in the things we would like God to intervene in, but it also should be making a difference in ourselves. And we ought to be a different people. We ought to be the type of people that when people come see us, we've got something good to say. And by the way, we do have something good to say. And we have the gospel. And there's nothing better than that. And you ought to be able to tell people about how God redeemed you from your sins. And that ought to be something you ought to brag about. I don't know about it. You know, we got to a point where we don't share our testimony anymore. You ought to brag about what Jesus did for you. You ought to tell people what He did. All right, let's finish the chapter and then I'll get back to the verse I want to look at. He says, verse 26, "The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof is no death." Now, Father, again, we thank you for the Word of God that we read. I just pray you'd help me to be a blessing here this morning. And Lord, there's so many verses there and so much wisdom there and so much understanding there that we ought to just grab hold of and believe with all our heart. But Lord, help us to just see something this morning that make a difference. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at this chapter, the entire chapter, and much of Proverbs is a contrast and a juxtaposition of the righteous versus the wicked, the outcome of the righteous versus the outcome of the wicked, benefits and blessings of being just and justified versus living in sin. And of course, every type of sin that you can talk about is there. It talks about the lying tongue. It talks about the slothful person. It talks about the wicked in all manner of ways and the things that it talks about. And it tells us what is righteous and what is good. And so when we look at that whole picture there, we ought to be paying attention to, when we read the book of Proverbs, okay, this is, we look at this person and we say, you know, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. And this is the verse we're going to talk about, verse 6. "But the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." All right? So we look at those passages of scriptures and we see the words of the wicked. And we get a picture of the words of the wicked. They're to lie in wait for blood. Versus the words of the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Now there's a clear division there. There's a clear, if you lay two things side by side and compare them, it's called putting them in juxtaposition. You put them there and you're comparing. God is telling us to compare what is wicked and the results of wickedness versus what is right and just and holy and the results of that. And, you know, the reality is we live in a world that constantly tries to lie about righteousness. We live in a world, and you get in the news media and you get into everything like that, and everything that goes on, they are constantly trying to talk down about and vilify anybody that makes any type of stand for righteousness. And it's constant. And it's done for the purpose of trying to make you and I have lockjaw when it comes to speaking like I talked about. They don't want people to speak out. They don't want people to take a stand. They want the illusion that everybody is on board with their wickedness. And the problem is that so often people are simply afraid to speak up. We have this cancel culture and all this idea. Somebody speaks up and says something they don't like, they try. I mean, they'll go back 50 years and find something somebody said. Now, if anybody here, if you could go back 50 years and you don't have anything that you regret saying, you are a rare person indeed. But they will go back and they'll do that, and they try to cut people off. They don't let them defend themselves. And you know, there's one thing about this world: they will never, never, never forgive you. They never forgive. You can go out and issue all the apologies and you can jump on board and say that you believe everything they want you to believe, and you know what they will not do? They will not forgive you. They want to destroy you. And we see that in our culture. It's become epidemic in our culture. But this has been generations in the making. You can go all the way back to the days of Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather and all these old people that are held in such high esteem, and they were as just wicked as the devil. I'm sorry. They were. They, even back then, they were trying to, because that's the way the world is. That's the way the devil is. He never backs up. He never tries to do anything but try to destroy. And so, when we look at verse 6, it says, "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood." You know, when we go into the scriptures, and the Bible tells us in the book of 1 John that we know that the whole world lieth in wickedness. When we see that, that picture of that, it's sometimes because we're so comfortable with the wickedness of the world, we don't see it for what it is. We become comfortable with the sin, comfortable with all the things. We often participate in it. We get all wrapped up in the politics and everything else. But the reality and the truth is, the devil has orchestrated the culture that we live in and the way people speak and all the things we've just talked about that we see in our culture constantly. Now, the devil has done that for the purpose of trying to destroy souls, because the devil, Jesus said about him, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy." Right? So it is no marvel that the words of our culture and the words that this world puts out, they all tend to destruction. They vilify that which is good and right and holy.
Amen.
And they glorify that which is wicked and abominable. And if anybody comes up and says otherwise, they seek to destroy them. And that's intimidating. But the Bible tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, it's against powers, it's against the rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the things that we fight against. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And so often we get to think about the culture, and we jump on anybody that comes out and says anything that's right. Anybody that comes out and says they're on our side. And most of the time when they say they're on our side, they're really not on their side. That's just the truth of it. And, you know, we've got a large contingent of people that profess the name of Christ that their focus is on politics and the government. If we can just get control of the government, right? But that doesn't always work, does it? Matter of fact, it very, very rarely works. And the sad thing about it is, you know, regardless of who we get in office, they're not going to think biblically. I don't care if it's President Trump. I don't care if it's Governor DeSantis. I don't care who it may be. You can look at many people, and there are people that, and I'm not against people that try to do the right thing. We ought to support them as much as we can, but we don't set our hope in them. And you cannot set, we cannot set our hope for this nation on some politician or political party. We ought to pray for them, but we ought to be praying for the fellow that's in the White House right now. If nothing else, pray for his salvation, for crying out loud.
Amen.
That'd make a difference. But the bottom line is, we're commanded to pray for our government no matter who it is. When this Bible was written, when the New Testament was written, they were under a dictatorship. They were under a Roman emperor who thought he was a god. And they were told to pray for him. And even the Apostle Paul, his ministry reached into Caesar's household. And he made a difference. But it should never surprise us that in this day and age, so many people, so many churches have fallen away, and they have literally gotten themselves caught up in the words of the wicked. And the whole thing about this, they lie in wait for blood, because that is exactly what the devil wants. He wants the blood of innocence to be spilt. He wants people to die and go to hell.
Yes, sir.
He wants people to be destroyed. And God will use even him, especially as we get closer to the time of Christ's return. There's going to be, you remember the parable of the wheat and the tares, right? There is going to be a dividing, a division, all right, between the wicked and the just. And there's going to be that. We read in the book of 1st, 2nd Thessalonians that there's coming a time where God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. So we know these times are coming, but God's going to use that. But the reality is, we live in this focus of the idea of that the words of the wicked, they are to wait for blood. They're to lie in wait for blood. The end, the goal, the purpose, the reason behind all the rhetoric is to destroy lives, to destroy souls. And it doesn't matter whether it is a Republican in office or Democrat or an independent or whatever it is. If you actually got a Bible-believing Christian, if I will say this, I'll go so far to say this. If I were to become the President of the United States, I probably wouldn't live very long. If you had somebody that would stand up and say, no, homosexuality is not a natural thing, it's an unnatural thing, it's wickedness, it's abomination, there'd be somebody to kill him. I mean, they're already threatening to kill people for what they say. And I guarantee you they would take they'd go back and they'd try to find out anything I said, and they would try to smear me and destroy me, and they would do that. Because that is the way it is. They don't want to hear Bible-believing Christians. They don't want that in Congress. Very few people. And I praise the Lord for every right stand anybody takes, and I'm thankful for it. And I try to support people that are trying to do the right thing. And one of the biggest things I want to support is I want to support people that believe in the Constitution, because that's our liberty, that's our freedom. Right. Once that Constitution's gone, then Katie bar the door. We're going to be under persecution like you've never seen. But here's the point. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait in blood. The goal, the point of all this that's going on is that the devil's out for blood. And were it not for the restraint of the Holy Spirit on this earth, and when that restraint is taken away, guess what's going to happen? Tribulation like there's never been in Tyre, right? That's the way it's supposed to be, right? That's what the Bible tells us is coming. So we know this, but too often we don't think about it in those terms. And I'm not telling you to hate everybody, and I'm not telling you to hate anybody. I'm telling you to have your eyes open. I'm telling you to understand that the Bible says the God of this world, who's blinded the minds of them that believe not, what? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The good news, it says, hath shined in our hearts. If we have no Christ as our Savior, that he shine in our hearts, so we know the truth now. So what is our job? What is our purpose? What is our response, if we will, to the words of the wicked and the fact that they lie in wait to blood? For blood, it says, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Now, most of the time when people read this, we read it in the terms of our own self. We look inwardly when we read this passage of Scripture. The mouth of the upright shall deliver them. We look at that from the picture of okay, my mouth will deliver me. But that's not actually the context. Because it says the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. Not their own blood, even though, yes, that's definitely on the table. The people that the Bible talks about, people who wrest the Scriptures to their own destruction, right? But they're not just lying in wait for blood. They're tools that the devil is using to lie in wait for the blood of others, to continue the deception so that people will die and go to hell.
Amen.
And make no mistake about it, the mouth of the upright does deliver them. Because there was a day, I'm assuming, because I don't know anybody's heart but mine, but the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, right? So we have that understanding that the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. And when you finally stopped calling God a liar and acknowledged yourself a sinner needing a Savior, and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and called upon Him, in that way, yes, your mouth did deliver you.
Amen.
But the focus here is not inward. The focus is actually outward. Because you see, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. They're not. They don't think they're lying in wait for their own blood. They're deceived. But their idea is they're lying in wait for the blood of others. They want to destroy others. Why do they want control of the schools? Why do they want control of the media? Why do they want control of the churches? Because the devil wants people to die without Christ. He wants them to die and go to hell and suffer eternally. Because that's what he does. We hear the words of the wicked and we vex our soul with the deeds of the wicked, much like Lot did. And we have a culture now that is pretty much like Lot. They just kind of go along to get along. They don't want to stand up and say the truth about anything. They don't want the conflict. They don't want the difficulty of taking a stand for righteousness' sake. But the reality is that the greatest hope that this nation and this world has is when the upright speak. When we talk about that which is good and righteous and holy, when we share the gospel, if you share the gospel with somebody and they get saved, your words,
yes,
deliver them.
That's right.
That's the goal that we have. That's the focus we have. We look at the book of Proverbs and we see clearly defined what is right and what is wrong. It gets into our hearts and shows us ourselves. If we're slothful, boy, it's there, black and white, right? It's clear. We have to deal with that scripture. And how many times does the Bible talk about the slothful, the sluggard, all that time in the book of Proverbs? It talks about the diligent. It talks about the righteous versus the wicked over and over. It's clearly shown. I mean, we look at the consequences of wickedness in every way. I mean, just look at verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. We see something about the relationship between men and women that's extremely important. That would make a difference. And by the way, it goes both ways.
That's right.
It goes both ways in that regard.
Yes, sir.
But the simple fact is, we look at and we can see how our behavior impacts the people around us, impacts the greatest relationships. We go through the Word of God and we see these things, and we ought to be able to incorporate those things in our life, and then we ought to be able to celebrate those things. We ought not ever be ashamed for righteousness. We ought not ever be afraid to say anything about it. He said, but if I speak up, I'm going to have conflict. I don't know. What do you want? Conflict or slavery? Which do you want? And you and I, we sit here and we talk about all the things that are going on in the world and the things that are happening, and we're all worried about the devil and everything like that, and we're talking about, you know, the Bible talks about the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the devil influencing and working in lost people and the wickedness of this world, and yet our Bible tells us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, do we believe that or not? We've got something better. I don't have to be ashamed. I don't have to be afraid of what anybody's going to say. And they can get all upset if they want to. But, you know, the bottom line is, I'm just going to keep telling people what's right, what's good, what's decent, what's godly. And I'm not going to be ashamed of it. I'm happy to be saved. And if somebody comes up to me, I learned a long time ago, somebody comes up to me, and if I fail and somebody comes up to me and says, hey, you look at you, you call yourself a Christian. Isn't it amazing how everybody knows what a Christian should be? And they come up and they say, and sometimes their criticism is justified. Let's be honest about that. We fail. But the bottom line, if somebody comes up and tells you the truth, you ought to be thankful for it. You know, if God can use an ass to speak to a prophet, He can use a lost person to speak to you. And if we'd humble ourselves and say, you know what, you're right. Please forgive me. I thank you so much for pointing that out. You're right. And I'm just, why don't we do that? You pointed out the right thing. Now, what about you, though? What about you? What the whole point of everything that we do, we've got so much to talk about, so much to tell the world about. I don't know about you, but I've got a testimony. I've got a testimony of how Jesus saved my soul. I'm not the same person I was the day that I got saved. I'm not that person that I was back then. My life has changed and it continues to change for the better. And it doesn't matter how wicked the world gets. It doesn't matter how difficult it gets. It doesn't matter how crazy it gets. I don't have to participate. I don't have to follow in that. And what you and I do, the way we speak, makes a difference in people's lives. In a world where people are hearing nothing but wickedness with the design of destroying them, why in the world aren't God's people telling everybody we can about the good things that God has done for us? You take that fella that had the legion of devils, and we always talk about the people that are in the Bible. We talk about the apostles, and we talk about the prophets, and we talk about the kings, and we talk about all these people who God has used, and we talk about the great preachers of yesteryear and the days gone past, and we talk about the missionaries, and we talk about all these people and everything like that. And well, we should. We ought to celebrate people that serve God. Those are, if we're going to say, hey, that's a person I want to emulate. That's a person I want to mark so that I have him for an example. That's the type of person I want to be. That's what we ought to be doing. That's what we ought to desire. And we ought to talk about what great things God has done for other people. But you ought to talk about what he's done for you. And that Gadarene demoniac that had the legion of devils and everything like that, when he finally was, those devils were cast out of him, and the people found him clothed and in his right mind and sitting in Jesus' feet, He wanted to go with Jesus when Jesus left. But you know what Jesus told him? He said, go and tell thy family and thy friends what great things God has done for thee. And he went out and told everybody what Jesus had done for him. And so what I'm trying to say to you this morning through that one verse is that we hold the key, the way we speak, the way we talk to people. We hold the key of redemption to a world that needs it. To a world that is under attack. They're not just attacking the righteous. The devil is attacking every soul that has ever been born. And we're the ones that have the answer. We're the ones that have the truth. And we act like, oh, it's something that I can give out and oh, but people aren't going to like it. So I can't say that over here because they won't like it. That's not the point. If we just use an ounce of common sense and we would look at things the right way, if we would look at things the right way and see things the right way, we would see that what we have is so valuable, so precious, that the world needs to hear it whether they want to believe it or not. Whether they react violently, whether they react with contempt, whether they react, they need to hear it. And they need to see people that not just talk about it, but people that have benefited from it, who have words coming out of their mouth that are good and decent and holy and godly. People that aren't afraid to talk about what Jesus has done for them. People aren't afraid to talk about the goodness of God. People that aren't afraid to say, I've tasted and I've seen that the Lord, He's good. That's what we need. And that's what you've got to be. You know, we've been sending out the mailers and everything, and Lord willing, here shortly we're going to send out some more. But somebody's going to meet you, and somebody's going to find out that, Brother Larry, you're from that church that's sending out all that, keeps sending out all these mailers and putting these things in my mailbox and telling me I need to be saved and inviting me to church and everything like that. And they're going to see you, and they're going to say, well, hey, this fella goes to that church. What kind of fella is he? And I don't know about you, but I've got something good to tell them. I've got something good to tell them. I've got something that's wonderful. They may look at it like it's the plague. But they have to see that it isn't. They have to see sick people. If everybody's sick, nobody knows what health is. And if the people that are healthy act sick, how are they going to know what good health is? I remember, it's kind of a funny thought that just came to my mind. I just remember there was an old song I used to listen to when I was growing up, and it's kind of a little bit way out there, but it was called The Swamp Witch. Yeah. I don't know if any of y'all ever heard that song. It was about there's this old swamp witch that was out in the swamp and everything like that, and people hated her and everything like that, and all of a sudden, you know, they got a fever in the town and the doctor died and everybody was there, and they were all thinking that, well, maybe this swamp witch, she was the one that caused all this. And then one day they, as they were sitting there and people were ill and dying. All of a sudden, they come out one morning and there was a big old cauldron full of some brew that was there. And so they were at their wits' end, and they decided to go ahead and try this that they gave, and they all took a sip of this concoction that the swamp witch had put there, and all of a sudden they got well, and fever went away, and everybody was there, and they were all happy and tickled to death. But you know, they got themselves to the point to where they didn't have any more pride. They destroyed themselves to the point to where that their idea was to kill somebody. They wanted to hurt somebody, and they wanted to hurt her because they thought she was the one that was guilty and of bringing the fever. But she was ended up being the one that cured the fever. Now, and then, you know, so that picture, you said, what does that mean? Well, the bottom line is they look at us as if we're the guilty, we're the cause of all the ills, we're the cause of all the problem. You know, we can talk. You just look in even in among churches and everything like that. We sit there and we got a King James Bible and we say this is the Word of God, and we're not going to go for a modern version. And there's, oh, you're just being hard. It's like you're causing all the trouble, but we're not the ones that changed the Bible.
That's
right. We're not the ones that changed it. We're not the ones that tried to make scholarship the end all and be all, that you know everybody wants to make a name for themselves and they've got a new translation and it's better, it's easier, it's everything. And we've got more Bibles and less righteousness in our culture now than we've ever had.
That's right. Yes, sir.
But we're the ones that are causing trouble. Because we won't bow. Think about it. What do we do? Do we shut up? No. We continue to do. Just like that song did, the woman, she was being accused, but she brought forth that which was good and decent and helpful. And finally, some of them decided to take a sip of the brew, and they found out that she wasn't the cause, she was the cure. But the sad thing is, when they came out and they wanted to fetch her into town and everything, all of a sudden somebody sent somebody out and he didn't come back. And she sent a message saying, don't come looking again. You know, that's sometimes the way we are. We want to tell people the truth, but then we want to isolate ourselves and we don't want to tell people to come on back. And I'm just going to tell you something, that we've got to be the ones. We have, our mouth is the means by which God will deliver people, but that means we cannot be quiet. We can't segregate ourselves and say we're not going to have anything to do. I'm not talking about participating in wickedness. I'm talking about being there. You got to realize we got a culture now where we're going to have people come through the door. If they get saved, they're going to come through the door. They're going to be tattooed. They're going to be marked up. Some of them are going to, their bodies will be mutilated because they were taken as children and their bodies mutilated and their minds warped and twisted. And if by the grace of God we can get past that warping and twisting and get them the truth and they'll believe the gospel, their lives are going to be changed, but the scars will still be there. So what are we going to do about it? See, that's what we can't do. We can't be the ones say, don't come looking for me. Because we have a job to go looking for them. We have the words of life. We have everything. Are you just? Are you upright in the eyes of God? See, the words of the wicked, they lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Not just ourselves. But we are literally, Bible-believing Christians are literally the hope of this world in the sense that we know who is truly the hope of this world. And our words can deliver souls. A true witness delivers souls. Amen? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. And I just pray, Lord, that you just take what I had on my heart and what I shared and use it in our hearts. Help us to just realize that we have such a role to play that we can make a difference in the lives of other people. We just open our mouths and say that which is good and right and holy and be joyful about it and thankful for all that you've given. And Lord, just help us above all to be thankful for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well,